Now you will be listening to a program about a specific illness. And this is because you are starting your journey with this condition together with your parents or guardians. If that's not the case, then you're just interested in this and want to know more about it. In this program, you will be listening to a child or a young person telling us about their specific illness, talking about everything they went through since the first day they were diagnosed up until where they are now. You will also listen to the caregiver talking about the experience and the doctor that was treating the child. So sit back, relax, and listen to what they have to tell us.
My name is Hidal Maisudia. I'm 12 years old. I go to TOEFL Primary School and my favorite subject is history. The reason why I like history is because we get to learn about stuff that happened in the past. My favorite hobbies is dancing and playing netball. I'm a goal defender. My condition is nephrotic syndrome. What happens in my body is that whenever I get an infection, my kidney swells up and I start losing protein. A protein is a vitamin that is in your body and it's an important part. The protein is leaking because whenever I get an infection, then my kidney swells up and that's why the protein leaks.
I'm Karuna and I'm Hiddle's mum. Hiddle is diagnosed with nephrotic syndrome and we've been visiting the hospital for the last 11 years of her life. She was 9 months old when she was diagnosed with this disease. Nephrotic syndrome is a kidney disorder. No one really knows what triggers it in the body or how it results. She was born perfectly normal, but at the age of 9 months, she started swelling and we couldn't understand why. We went to a number of doctors. They did blood tests. They did ultrasounds. I don't know if it was negligence, maybe from the pediatrician also, because he had the results that showed the high protein dose, but no feedback was given to us. One day, I took those results to a general GP, and he noticed the excessive levels of protein in her urine. That, for him, was a sign that she definitely has a kidney disorder. And then he asked us to go back to the pediatrician with his report as to why he thinks these are the problems. We were lucky that day that the pediatrician wasn't there, but Professor Carabas, he was actually standing in for the doctor that day. And just looking at her, he immediately said, there's definitely a kidney disorder. He's 99% sure it's probably nephrotic syndrome. And he immediately wrote a letter for us to bring her in to Red Cross Hospital. We spent about 6 to 7 weeks, her initial visit, which in fact her first birthday was here at hospital, because her protein levels were so high that to bring her into remission, the doctors really, really struggled because she never responded to any meds. After the biopsy, they definitely confirmed it's nephrotic syndrome, and it's also quite difficult to manage in the sense that it either gets worse or it gets better, and only time will tell us that.
My name is Ashin Kutsir. I'm one of the pediatric nephrologists at Red Cross Hospital in Cape Town. So nephrotic syndrome is a kidney problem. The kidneys are supposed to filter the blood and take out all the bad stuff and keep the good stuff behind. And the bad stuff is what you normally pee out into the toilet. With nephrotic syndrome, the problem is that some of the good stuff are leaking. So the kidneys that are supposed to keep the protein in the blood leak so that the protein actually wastes away into the urine. And the problem is that results in the blood protein becoming quite low. So normally a child with nephrotic syndrome presents quite swollen. And the reason they swell up is because the protein in the blood is quite low and they tend to accumulate fluid because they're not able to keep all the fluid in the blood vessels. So normally the swelling is the main problem with nephrotic syndrome and that's what the mother or the father picks up at home. And normally when they come to hospital, someone collects some of the urine and they take a dipstick, a little stick that they dip into the urine, and that shows whether or not there's blood, protein, or any signs of infection. And with nephrotic syndrome, there's generally lots and lots of protein in the urine. And that's the first kind of baseline test to just diagnose nephrotic syndrome. Once we diagnose nephrotic syndrome, we teach the parents how to monitor the condition at home. And what that involves is sending them home with the same urine dipsticks we use to diagnose nephrotic syndrome. And the mom or the dad collects the urine in the first thing in the morning, and they test the urine at home. So they collect the urine, they put the stick in, and it changes color. And there's various grades of color. So if it's very dark, it means it's 4+. And if it's a little bit change of color, but not a massive amount, then it's about 1+. And the mom just uses the dipsticks to monitor the condition at home so that they don't have to come to hospital for every single time there's a problem. But they can give us a call and they say that they've tested the urine and this is what happens and this is what it's been for the last week, so that we can kind of advise them on how to manage the patient best at home.
I need to do the dipstick so that I get to know if my protein counts are okay or if I must start taking the tablets or not. It's like a stick that you must put it in your urine and then take it out. Then there's like a square that color will change, and then the different colors that the square will show that's on the bottle, then you must just check on the bottle what the color is. When I'm healthy, it's a yellowish color, but when I'm not, it's a dark, dark green color.
For the past 11 years, that's all she knows. Every morning when she gets up, we do the dipstick test first. It was actually very difficult as a baby because she'd wear a nappy. And I'd always need to time her. Like, the minute she gets up, the first thing I need to do is pick up and run to the toilet so that I can put her onto a potty so that we can get the wee. And as she got older, it became easier because then she'd go to the toilet and we'd do what we have to do. Now she does her own tests and she'd come and show me if there's any bit of protein. She'd let me know and then I can phone the doctors and we start treatment immediately. That's the nice thing. That's why I'm saying the older she gets, it's becoming more manageable.
That's the end of part one of a three-part series. We still have two parts left, so get up, stretch a bit, and go fetch you a cup of warm coffee. And when you're back, you can press play. Welcome back. We will continue with this program. Here is part two.
When we first diagnose nephrotic syndrome, the first treatment we always start is steroids, which are little white tablets that you take, and it's generally the most effective medicine for controlling nephrotic syndrome. So that's always the number one medicine we start with. And in the beginning, we use quite large doses. And about 80% of patients with nephrotic syndrome will respond to the steroids. Some patients, unfortunately, don't respond or don't respond optimally, which means that we need to start other medication to help treat the nephrotic syndrome. So the steroids work very well, but the side effects is that it makes you accumulate weight, but accumulate weight in unnatural places. So you tend to have very skinny arms and legs, but a big pot belly and big fat cheeks. The other side effect of the steroids is that it suppresses your immune system. So it makes you vulnerable to infections like common colds, gastro, pneumonias. With nephrotic syndrome, it's always a balance of giving enough treatment to control the nephrotic syndrome, but not giving so much treatment that they develop infections again and again and again.
When Hedel gets an infection, my first reaction is, let's check your urine, because any infection in a body would trigger the loss of protein. That's why I get worried, because she's human. She must get sick. She's going to get throat infection. She's going to have headaches. She's going to have flus. It's just when she gets an infection, it attacks the kidney. It's like the antibodies in her body start attacking the kidney, and then we're just back to square one. And we start all the treatment again. When she tells me she's not feeling well, my initial reaction is, let's check your urine.
So prednisone is another name for the steroids. It's the one we always start in the beginning, and it's generally the one that we use for the longest. Even though it works very well for nephrotic syndrome, we can't continue it indefinitely because of the side effects. So with Hiral, she did respond to the prednisone initially, but the problem is that she needed to stay on very big doses for a very long time. And because of the side effects of the weight gain, the fact that it made her shorter and gave her lots of infections, we couldn't indefinitely continue the steroids because of the side effects. If we get into that situation, we start second-line medication to try and bring the prednisone down. So the first one we give is cyclophosphamide, which is a medicine that we give in the drip. We give it once a month for 3 doses to see if it can bring the nephrotic syndrome under control while we bring the prednisone down. The other option I'll also add is chlorambucil, which is a very similar medicine to cyclophosphamide. But instead of getting medicine in the drip, it's a tablet that you take once a day for 8 weeks. But it works in a very similar way. 80% of nephrotic syndrome responds to steroids. But of that 80%, probably about half of them will have episodes of relapse. So what we call a relapse is a child who's been well and under control with no protein in the urine, where they get sick and then they start swelling up again. So a relapse means that either you've swollen up again, or when the mom tests your urine in the morning, you've been 4+ for more than 3 days. So relapses can be quite common, but we get worried when you have more than 2 relapses in 6 months or more than 4 in a year, basically. And then we start thinking about other medication to treat the nephrotic syndrome.
The medicine I take is called prednisone. How many I need to take, it depends on the weight on my weight and how much protein has leaked. Normally, I take a full dose, which is 10 tablets every alternate day. And sometimes I have to take 10 tablets every day. Taking the prednisone releases the swelling from my kidneys. Sometimes if I take 10 tablets every alternate day, it means that my protein counts are okay and there's no more swelling on my kidneys. So then I just take 10 tablets every alternate day and then we start bringing it down. But normally I have to take full dose for 5 days every day so that the swelling can come down.
Prednisones? It's little white tablets. That's the 10 tablets that she talks about that she needs to take in one go. But obviously as a child, it was in syrup form. And she never responded to that initially. That's the pre-launch. So what they did was they gave her 3 doses of cyclophosphamide. And that helped her bring her into remission initially when she was 9 months old. But after a month or 2 weeks or so, she just relapsed again. They tried another tablet, which was called Tacrolimus. And she was on that for 1 year. What that did, I don't know. But after that year, she became responsive towards the prednisones. Because according to the docs, that's like the best. And I mean, that's option one. If she responds to that, that's great. If children don't respond to that, then they try the more stronger drugs like the FK. And there again, she was in remission for a while. And then they tried another drug called cyclophosphamide, and then it was chlorambucil. Yes, and that was a little tablet. I remember that tablet was terrible. It was a little tablet that we needed to crush up and give it to her every day at the same time. It was important that she takes it the same time every day. And she was on that for about a month, I think, also. And that helped her. That kept her in remission for very long, for over a year. And then again, she relapsed. So the good thing is she would respond and it helped her for a while and then she would relapse. But in between, they just kept on giving her the prednisones. That's the 10 tablets when she's relapsing. And now for the past 3 years, she's had rituximab, and that's been great. That's the one that they give via IV. It's just a dose that you come in, you take it. It takes about 6 to 7 hours and then you're fine. So the last dose she had was last year. March, it's a year from now, and she's still in remission today. So we hope either the drug is doing what it's supposed to, or she is hopefully growing out this disease. I don't know, any time will tell.
So rituximab is a fairly new medicine that we've been using for nephrotic syndrome. It's only really been around for the last 5 to 10 years. And what it is an antibody that they produced in the lab that helps kind of slow down or decrease the number of white blood cells that you have. And it goes against a very specific white blood cell called the B cell. And the goal of that is to try and see if you can bring down the B cells within the nephrotic syndrome will be under control. Rituximab, unfortunately, isn't a tablet, so it's a medicine that needs to be given in a drip. And it's normally a drip that runs for about 6 hours, so they need to come to hospital, get a drip inserted, get the medicine for 6 hours. And we generally do it at least 2 doses, 2 weeks apart. And if it works well, we monitor the patient, but it may be that after some time that medicine wears off and you need repeat doses of rituximab. So most childhood nephrotic syndrome is what we call idiopathic. So we don't really have a clear cause for it, but the vast majority of it, they tend to outgrow by the time they finish puberty and finish teenage years. About 10% goes on to persist into adulthood. But the nephrotic syndrome of children is very different to the nephrotic syndrome that happens in adults. So thankfully, most of the children will outgrow it. With Iral's case, I think we're just managing it really well with the rituximab. And it's difficult to say exactly whether or not she will outgrow it. But we know that at least with the rituximab, we're controlling it quite nicely.
Going on the drip, it feels uncomfortable because I'm not allowed to move my hand around. My condition has not restricted me.
Well, the condition hasn't restricted in any way. We kept salt away from her because she had so much, she was so badly in relapsing so badly. So out of habit, I think all 4 of us, even them, we eat very little salt. Not that there's no salt, there is salt in the food, but always just low amounts. So immediately if the food is a bit salty, she's unable to eat it because she's not used to the salt at all. And then obviously I try and keep gas or cool drinks away, but it's not like they've restricted us. I mean, she's allowed it, but I just prefer not having it. Because of her condition, I think I'm probably a bit brainwashed in that sense. I don't know.
So for nephrotic syndrome, we encourage quite a normal, healthy diet. The one thing we say is that when you are swollen or you've had a relapse, is not to have large amounts of salt. Because you're already swollen, the salt makes you swell more. But otherwise, we encourage a normal, balanced, healthy diet with good protein intake. There's no food specifically that you can't eat. What we tend to say is that if you've relapsed, no fast food, nothing with high amounts of salt. Generally, good home-cooked food. But once you're well and you're not having a relapse, you can have a normal diet thereafter.
You just listened to part two. But there's still one more part to go, so take another break. And when you come back, you can listen to the final part. Welcome back. We will continue with this program. Here is part three.
When I'm really sick, my body feels like it's sore, and it wasn't nice because then I had to stay away from school, and then all the work that I used to miss out that we used to do at school.
It breaks me. I feel heartbroken because I know, like I said, it's been a long road, and the doctors keep on telling me it's normal that she relapses. I mean, we know this is going to happen, but I think when she does well for such a long time, I just get so happy and so overwhelmed that when she does relapse, it just makes me wonder then, is she really going to outgrow this one day? Is this going to be a life going forward? What happens if I'm not here one day? It's not like she's sick with it, because when she relapses, we immediately pick up on it and I phone into the hospital and immediately we start treatment. So she still has a normal life. It's just then we start taking the meds, and that breaks my heart. I still don't want her to take any meds, but that's me. I think we were lucky when this whole disease started and she got ill. We were living as a joint family, so my in-laws were there, her uncle, her aunt were there, and they were with us every step of the road. So even if I'm not there and she's not well, they know. The first thing they do is everyone would just... she's got a bottle of dipsticks at her granny's house, at my house, at her other granny's house. The initial reaction to everyone is just check her urine. And obviously, if we pick up on protein, then they'd let me know. They understand the condition. Even while she was at hospital, everyone would visit. I think my in-laws also... my mum and them as well. They don't understand the disease that well, but they would know what to do if she falls ill, what meds to start and things like that. They know exactly what to give her and how much to give her.
There were a few doctors who helped me, and what I liked was when I was in hospital, then all the nurses, they would carry me and walk around in the hospital.
I must say, the support I got from the staff at Red Cross was great. The nurses itself and themselves and doctors. Dr. Gajar, she initially saw to Hiddle. Dr. Chris, Prof. McCullough, and now Dr. Kutsia, they know Hiddle's condition. So when I would phone in, they know me. I think on a first name basis, they know exactly who I am, and that helps. The nurses also, great. It's true what Hiddle says. They used to literally walk around with her because she was a very cute baby. She was always so swollen because she was so sick. She was like a little Oros baby. You know, she had these rolls and fat all over her. And the doctors and the nurses would literally walk around with her during the day, or even at night if I needed to just run to the loo or something. They'd really look after her so well. And then the nights that I'd go home and her auntie would come stay over, because it was 6 weeks long that we were here, day and night with her. She was only 9 months old. And I'd go home and then her auntie would stay behind, and they were really supportive towards her also, but obviously help her along because she wouldn't know really what to do at that time. And yeah, it was great. So the support we got, I think, from everyone at hospital, even Gail, the administration clerk in Ward E2, wonderful, brilliant. And very empathetic, very caring staff. It's not easy having a sick child, and it's not easy accepting that your child is ill. I would share my story with anyone if it's going to help them, motivate them, and just give them that little bit of strength to carry forward. And I'm not ashamed to tell people she has a kidney disorder. If anyone asks me, I tell them what the condition is and what we've been through. And for parents itself, it's very difficult, especially when it's a little baby and you don't know what's wrong and you don't understand what's wrong. It's difficult to accept. A child's greatest support is her parents or his parents, especially at the tender age of 1 or 2 or 3. that's why it's important for parents to know and understand conditions like this.
So of all the kidney conditions we see, nephrotic syndrome is one of the commonest. But it probably, you know, anywhere between 2 and 5% of all children will present with nephrotic syndrome. So as kidneys conditions go, it's quite common. The advice I would give is that it's not a condition that's going to go away. So it's not that you're going to come to hospital once, get treatment and go away and it's been completely fine. Unfortunately, nephrotic syndrome is something that does persist in the kidney. It generally, 95% of the time, doesn't lead to kidney failure or kidney problems. But whenever your child gets sick for another reason, they may relapse again. So what I would say is not to be too scared with the diagnosis. It's a diagnosis that we try and empower the parents so that they can actually manage the condition at home, test the urine at home, and only really come to hospital when they can't manage it at home.
I would tell them that it's going to be all okay and they mustn't worry.
Yeah, being parents, I think to say not worry is not going to help much because we're going to worry. But yes, I would say that the road is long, but it will be okay. I mean, we've come this far and she's doing great. And I'm very grateful to the hospital, doctors. And I think I'm fortunate that I know a lot about the disease. And I think that's why parents should actually educate themselves more than the children. Just and try and understand what the problem is so that you can actually help the child more. Because I think the greater responsibility is on us as the parents. And if you just help them along, it does get easier. Everything will be fine. I do believe that.
Thank you for taking your time out to listen to this program. This was put together by RX Radio, a radio station by and for children, situated at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. Please visit our website www.rxradio.co.za for more amazing programming. Enjoy the rest of your day.